God has expressed his authority in the scriptures generically and specifically, as we noticed last Sunday. Generic authority, includes choices that are related to the commandment. Specific authority excludes or leaves out those choices, since God has already specified what he wants. So how do we scripturally tell the difference between what is an aid, something that helps us to obey God's word, and something that is an addition that violates God's word? So let's look at the Bible doctrine about aids, helpers. The definition literally means to bring together, to be an advantage, something that is profitable, something that is expedient according to Vine. In John 16 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Thayer talks about this and says it means to bear together or at the same time to carry with others, to collect or contribute in order to help, hence to help, to be profitable, to be expedient. So an aid is virtually synonymous with the word expedient here. Since these terms are used to refer to things that assist or help in obeying God. Cogdell, in his book on walking by faith, adds, "In order for a thing to be a scriptural expedient or aid in spiritual affairs, it must facilitate the accomplishment of God's will and must be in harmony with his word." Now, for a thing to be an expedient or an aid, it must be lawful. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." He goes on in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and in verse 23, he says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." So we have a command to glorify God and to cause no offense. So we go on in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, and we begin looking at verse 31, where Paul writes, "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. It was lawful to eat meats in those days in the first century, even those meats that had been sacrificed to idols. But it was not always expedient due to the weak consciousness of someone else." And those things that aid in obeying God will be expedients. They expedite or help us in our obedience to God. So aids are lawful and approved before God. So an aid or an expediency does not change the force or effect of the authorized thing or action. Noah's tools, for example, didn't change the effect of God's command to build an ark. In other words, instead, they helped him to obey that command. We look at song leaders today, or congregations that use song books, a pitch pipe, the song leader himself, and now we put songs on the PowerPoint screen. Those things are aids that help to expedite the command to sing, Ephesians 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, and verse 16. When we observe the Lord's Supper, the trays and the cups are aids to expedite or to help us to obey the command to eat the Lord's Supper. You look at 1 Corinthians 11, in verses 23 through 26. So the application to the local church, to the work of the local church, how do we apply this? Well, we have the command to preach, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. And we might use things to expedite or aid us in that command. You might have a pulpit for the preacher, the speaker to stand in. You might have a microphone or a sound system to help project his voice so that everyone in the auditorium can hear him. You might have a PowerPoint program that would help in the visual aid aspect of it. Another command, application to this work of the local church, is to edify, as per 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 6, 26. So how might a church use these expediencies or aids to help in edification? Well, we might have classes. We might have class material. There might be a bulletin written. We have a building, and the list can go on. Those things are aids that help us to edify the brethren. Another command in the application of the work of the local church is to relieve the saints, as we see in the example of Acts 2, verses 44 and 45. Well, how do we distribute this relief? Well, it could be done by mail. It could be delivered by hand. It doesn't matter. So when we talk about these aids, expediencies, they involve choices, choices of liberty. And the reason for that is they involve non-essentials. The man that's leading the singing may choose whether to use a pitch pipe or just to sing without it. We may choose to use PowerPoint, loudspeakers, and bulletins to preach the gospel. We may choose whether to use printed material to edify. We may choose whether to hand deliver or mail the relief to needy saints. Aids are left unspecified in the scripture. Otherwise, they would be essential. Their use involves liberty and human wisdom or human judgment. What is the best way to accomplish the authorized activity, what God has commanded? So what we learned from aids is that they must edify and not cause an offense or someone to stumble, per 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. Let's remember the definition of an aid. It must help and be profitable. Because aids are non-essential matters of liberty. They are not to be forced on others or used so as to compel someone to violate their conscience if it is weak and then cause them to sin. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24. So we are to forego our personal liberty on non-essential matters rather than lead a brother to sin by violating his conscience in partaking in that which he believes to be wrong. Now, a weak conscience, someone that's weak in conscience, is to respect the right of others also to use a liberty without condemning them when his conscience won't allow it. That's what Paul wrote about in Romans 14 and verse 13, and again in Romans chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2. So now let's look at the Bible doctrine of additions. When we look at the definition of an addition, it means to put to add, join to, gather with any company, according to Thayer. Webster says it means to increase. It means the joining of a thing to another thing. Now, concerning Bible authority, an addition to God's will changes the force and the effect of the authorized activity. Noah, we go back to him. If he built any other structure along with the ark, he would have added to God's word. We take baptism, for example. Romans 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And Paul would write also in Colossians 2 and verse 12, beginning in verse 11, he says, in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Then he says in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Now, when pouring is introduced as baptism, the force or the action, and the effect of baptism as a burial is changed, and therefore pouring, and we might add sprinkling, has become an addition. We look at instrumental music in worship. Ephesians 5 and verse 19 talks about making this singing. It's talking about vocal. And when we're playing some instrumental, mechanical instrument of music is introduced along with vocal music, our singing, the force and effect of our command to sing has been changed, and therefore it is an addition. We look at the work of the local church. When social and secular works are introduced as works of the local church, things like entertainment, social entertainment, business enterprises, daycares, schools, health clinics, and the list goes on. And you can look at any congregation, any church in our area and around the state and around the country, and these churches are getting into the business of entertainment and into the business of health clinics and schools. And also, it changes the force and effect of that church's spiritual work. The work of the church is to preach God's word. It is to edify the saints and relieve those saints that are in need. And when we bring in social entertainment and the like, then we've changed the work of the local church. And these are additions to the work of the local church. What we need to understand is additions are not approved, but rather they are forbidden because they are without Christ's authority. That's what 2 John verse 9 talks about. And Paul went on in Galatians 1, and he writes in verse 8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. If anyone comes to you and says this addition needs to be put into our worship service, they're wrong." John writes in Revelation 22 and verse 18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." So if I want to add instrumental music to my singing, then I'm wrong. When we add to the will of God, we turn away from the gospel of Christ to a different gospel. That's what Paul said he marveled about in Galatians 1. We pervert the gospel of Christ, and we separate ourselves from his grace. Paul said in Galatians 1 in verse 6, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." And then he goes on and says, it doesn't matter who brings in this addition. It doesn't matter who it is, even if it's an angel from heaven or another apostle, let them be accursed. I pray that this will help us to understand a little bit about Bible authority, that we can understand from the Word of God that we can only do what He says. We don't have authority to add what man thinks or would like to do. You know, I often repeat from the pulpit at ESAD that worshiping God ain't about you. It ain't about what you like. It's about doing what God says. And all it requires is simple obedience. That's all God has ever required, is simple obedience. I want to thank you for being with me again today. And if you have any questions, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Thank you again.